Magnus. Magnus looked ill and pale, and very, very tired. "Sebastian's dead," she said, and they all looked at her, with their tired, dirty faces, as if they were too exhausted and drained to feel anything at the news, even relief. Jay stepped forward and took her hands, lifted them, and kissed them quickly. She closed her eyes, feeling as if just a fraction of warmth and light had been returned to her. "Warrior hands," he said quietly, and let her go. She stared down at her fingers, trying to see what he saw. Her hands were just hands, small and calloused, stained with dirt and blood. "Jace was telling us," said Simon, "what she did with the Morgenstern sword, that you were faking Sebastian out the whole time." "Not there at the end," she said. "Not when he turned back into Jonathan." "I wish you'd told us," Isabel said, "about your plan." "I'm sorry," Clary whispered. "I was afraid it wouldn't work, that you'd just be disappointed. I thought it was better not to hope too much." "Hope is all that keeps us going sometimes, Biscuit," said Magnus, though he didn't sound resentful. "I needed him to believe it," Clary said. "So I needed you to believe it too. He had to see your reactions and think he'd won." "Jace knew," Alex said, looking up at her. He didn't sound angry either, just dazed. "And I never looked at her, from the time she got up onto the throne to the time she stabbed that bastard in the heart," Jace said. "I couldn't. Handing over that bracelet to him, I..." He broke off. "I'm sorry. I shouldn't have called him a bastard. Sebastian was, but Jonathan isn't. Wasn't the same person. And your mother..." "It's like she lost a child twice," said Magnus. "I can think of few worse things."
"How about being trapped in a demon realm with no way to get out?" Isabel said. "Clary, we need to get back to Idris. I hate to ask, but did Jonathan say anything about how to unseal the borders?"
Clary swallowed. "He said it wasn't possible, that they're closed forever."
"So we're trapped here," Isabel said, her dark eyes shocked. "Forever. That can't be. There must be a spell. Magnus."
"He wasn't lying," Magnus said. "There's no way for us to reopen the paths from here to Idris." There was an awful silence. Then Alec, whose gaze had been resting on Magnus, said,
"No way for us."
"That's what I said," Magnus replied. "There's no way to open the borders."
"No,"
said Alec, and there was a dangerous note in his voice. "You said there was no way for us to do it, meaning that there might be someone who could." Magnus drew away from Alec and looked around at them all. His expression was unguarded, stripped of its usual distance, and he looked both very young and very, very old. His face was a young man's face, but his eyes had seen centuries pass, and never had Clary been more aware of it.
"There are worse things than death," Magnus said.
"Maybe you should let us be the judge of that," said Alec,
and Magnus scrubbed a despairing hand across his face and said,
"Dear God, Alexander, I have gone my whole life without ever taking recourse to this path, save once, when I learned my lesson. It is not a lesson I want the rest of you to learn."
"But you're alive," said Clary. "You lived through the lesson."
Magnus smiled an awful smile.
"It wouldn't be much of a lesson if I hadn't," he said. "But I was duly warned. Playing dice with my own life is one thing. Playing with all of yours..."
"We'll die here anyway," said Jace. "It's a rigged game. Let us take our chances."
"I agree," Isabel said, and the others chimed in their agreement as well.
Magnus looked toward the dais, where Luke and Jocelyn still knelt, and sighed.
"Majority vote," he said. "Did you know there's an old downworlder saying about mad dogs and Nephilim never heeding a warning?"
"Magnus," Alec began, but Magnus only shook his head and drew himself weakly to his feet. He still wore the rags of clothes he must have put on for that long-ago dinner at the Fair Folks Refuge in Idris, the incongruous shreds of a suit jacket and tie. Rings sparkled on his fingers as he brought his hands together, as if in prayer, and closed his eyes.
"My father," he said, and
Clary heard Alec suck in his breath with a gasp.
"My father who art in hell, unhallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in Edom as it is in hell. Forgive not my sins, for in that fire of fires there shall be neither loving kindness, nor compassion, nor redemption. My Father, who makes war in high places and low, come to me now. I call you as your son, and incur upon myself the responsibility of your summoning. Magnus opened his eyes. He was expressionless. Five shocked faces looked back at him.
By the angel,
Alex started. No, said a voice just beyond their huddled group. Definitely not by your angel. Clary stared. At first she saw nothing, just a shifting patch of shadow, and then a figure evolved out of the darkness. A tall man, as pale as bone, in a pure white suit. Silver cufflinks gleamed at his wrists, carved in the shape of flies. His face was a human face, pale skin, pulled tight over bone, cheekbones sharp as blades. He didn't have hair, so much as a sparkling coronet of barbed wires. His eyes were green-gold and slit-pupiled like a cat's. Father, said Magnus, and the word was an exhalation of sorrow. You came. The man smiled. His front teeth were sharp, pointed like feline teeth. My son, he said. It has been a long time since you called on me. I was beginning to despair that you ever would again. I hadn't planned to, Magnus said dryly. I called on you once to determine that you were my father. That once was enough. You wound me, said the man, and he turned his pointed tooth smile on the others. I am Asmodeus, he said, one of the nine princes of hell. You may know my name. Alec made a short sound, quickly muffled. I was Seraphim once, one of the angels indeed, continued Asmodeus, looking pleased with himself. Part of an innumerable company. Then came the war, and we fell like stars from heaven. I followed the Lightbringer down, the Morning Star, for I was one of his chief advisors. And when he fell, I fell with him. He raised me up in hell and made me one of the nine rulers. In case you were wondering, it is preferable to rule in hell than serve in heaven. I've done both. You're Magnus' father, said Alec in a strangled voice. He turned to Magnus. When you held the witchlight in the subway tunnel, it flared up in colors. Is that because of him? He pointed at Asmodeus. Yes, Magnus said. He looked very tired. I warned you, Alexander, that this was something you would not like. I don't see what the fuss is about. I have been the father of many warlocks, said Asmodeus. Magnus has made me the most proud. Who are the others? Isabel asked, her dark eyes suspicious. What he's not saying is that they're mostly dead, Magnus said. He met his father's eyes briefly and then looked away, as if he couldn't stand prolonged eye contact. His thin, sensitive mouth was set in a hard line. He's also not telling you that all princes of hell have a realm they rule. This is his. Since this place, Edom, is your realm, Jace said, then you're responsible for what happened here. It is my realm, though I am rarely here, said Asmodeus with a martyred sigh. Used to be an exciting place. The Nephilim of this realm put up quite the fight. When they invented the Skeptron, I rather thought they might win out at the last moment. But the Jonathan Shadowhunter of this world was a divider, not the uniter. And in the end, they destroyed themselves. Everyone does, you know. We demons get the blame, but we only open the door. It is humanity who steps through it. Don't excuse yourself, Magnus snapped. You as much as murdered my mother. She was a willing little piece, I assure you, said Asmodeus, and Magnus flushed red across his cheekbones. Clary felt a dull pang of shock that it was actually possible to do that to Magnus, to hurt him with barbs about his family.
It had been so long, and he was so collected. But then, perhaps your parents could always hurt you, no matter how old you were.
Let's cut to the business part of this, said Magnus. You can open a door, correct? Send us through to Idris, back to our world.
Would you like a demonstration? Asmodeus asked, flicking his fingers toward the dais, where Luke was on his feet, looking toward them. Jocelyn seemed about to rise too. Clary could see the expression of concern on both their faces, just before they winked out of existence. There was a shimmer of air, and they both vanished, taking Jonathan's body with them. Just as they vanished for a moment, Clary glimpsed the inside of the Accords Hall, the mermaid fountain, and the marble floor. And then, it was gone, like a tear in the universe sewing itself back up again.
A cry broke from Clary's throat. Mom!
I sent them back to your world, said Asmodeus. Now you know. He examined his nails. Clary was panting, half with panic, half with rage.
How dare you!
Well, it's what you wanted, isn't it? Said Asmodeus. There, you get the first two for free. The rest, well, it'll cost you.
He sighed at the looks on the faces around him.
I'm a demon, he said pointedly.
Really, what do they teach Nephilim these days?
I know what you want, Magnus said in a strained voice. And you can have it. But you must swear on the Morning Star to send all my friends back to Idris, all of them, and never to bother them again. They will owe you nothing.
Alex stepped forward. Stop, he said. No. Magnus, what do you mean, what he wants? Why are you talking like you're not coming back to Idris with us?
There is a time, said Asmodeus, when we must all return to live in the houses of our fathers. Now is Magnus's time. In my father's house are many mansions, Jace whispered. He looked very pale, as if he might throw up.
Magnus, he can't mean. He doesn't want to take you back with him. Back to...
To hell. Not precisely, Asmodeus said. As Magnus said, Edom is my realm. I shared it with Lilith. Then her brat took it over and laid waste to the grounds, destroyed my keep. It's in slivers out there. And you murdered half the populace with the Skeptron.
The last was addressed to Jace, rather petulantly.
It takes great energy to fuel a realm. We draw from the power of what we have left behind, the great city of Pandemonium, the fire we fell into. But there is a time when life must fuel us, and immortal life is the best of all.
The numb heaviness weighing Clary's limbs vanished as she snapped to attention, moving in front of Magnus. She nearly collided with the others. They had all moved just as she had, to block the warlock from his demon father, even Simon.
You want to take his life? Clary asked. That's just cruel and stupid, even if you're a demon. How could you want to kill your own child?
Asmodeus laughed. Delightful, he said. Look at them, Magnus. These children who love you and want to protect you. Who would have ever thought it? When you are buried, I will make sure they inscribe it on your tomb. Magnus Bane, beloved of Nephilim.
You won't touch him, Alex said, his voice like iron. Maybe you've forgotten what it is we do, us Nephilim, but we kill demons. Even princes of hell.
Oh, I know well what you do. My kinsman Abaddon you slew, and our princess Lilith you scattered to the winds of the void, though she will return. She always has a place in Edom. That is why I allowed her son to set himself up here, though I admit I did not realize what a mess he'd make.
Asmodeus rolled his eyes. Clary suppressed a shudder. Around the gold-green pupils, the sclerae of his eyes were as black as oil.
I do not plan to kill Magnus. That would be messy and silly. And besides, I could have had his death arranged at any time. It is his life freely given I want. For the life of an immortal has power, great power, and it will help me fuel my kingdom.
But he's your son,
Isabel protested.
And he will remain with me, said Asmodeus with a grin. In spirit, he might say.
Alec whirled on Magnus, who stood with his hands in his pockets, scowling.
He wants to take your immortality.
Exactly, Magnus said.
But you'd survive. Just not be immortal anymore.
Alec looked wretched, and Clary couldn't help feeling awful for him. After the reason Alec and Magnus had broken up, Alec certainly didn't want or need to be reminded that he had once wanted Magnus's immortality taken away.
My immortality would be gone, Magnus said. All the years of my life would come on me at once. I would be unlikely to survive it. Almost 400 years is quite a lot to take, even if you moisturize regularly.
You can't,
Alec said, and there was a plea in his voice.
He said a life given willingly. Say no.
Magnus raised his head and looked up and over at Alec. It was a look that made Clary flush and glance away. There was so much love in it, mixed with exasperation and pride and despair. It was an unguarded look, and it felt wrong to see it.
I can't say no, Alexander, he said. If I do, we all remain here. We'll die anyway. We'll starve. Our ashes turn to dust, to plague the demons of the realm.
Fine, Alec said. There isn't any one of us who would give up your life to save ours.
Magnus glanced around at the faces of his companions, dirty and exhausted, and brutalized, and despairing. And Clary saw the look on Magnus's face change as he realized that Alec was right. None of them would give up his life to save theirs, even all of theirs.
I've lived a long time, Magnus said. So many years. And no, it doesn't feel like enough. I won't lie and say it does. I want to live on. Partly because of you, Alec. I have never wanted to live so much as I have these past few months. With you.
Alec looked stricken.
We'll die together, he said. Let me stay at least with you.
You have to go back. You have to go back to the world.
I don't want the world. I want you,
Alec said, and Magnus closed his eyes as if the words almost hurt. Asmodeus watched as they spoke, avidly, almost hungrily, and Clary remembered that demons fed on human emotions, fear and joy, and love and pain. Most of all, pain.
You can't stay with me, Magnus said after a pause. There will be no me. The demon will take my life force, and my body will crumble away. 400 years, remember.
The demon, Asmodeus said and sniffed. You could say my name at least while you're boring me. Clary resolved then and there that she might hate Asmodeus more than any other demon she had ever met.
Get on with it, my boy, Asmodeus added. I haven't got all eternity to wait, and neither have you any more.
I have to save you, Alec, Magnus said. You and everyone you love. It's a small price to pay, isn't it? In the end, for all that.
Not everyone I love, Alec whispered, and Clary felt tears pressing behind her eyes.
She had tried so hard, to be the one who paid the price. It was not fair that Magnus should pay it. Magnus, who had the least part in the story of Nephilim, and angels and demons, and vengeance, compared to any of the rest of them. Magnus, who was only a part of it because he loved Alec.
No,
Alec said. Through her tears, Clary could see them clinging to each other. There was a tenderness even in the curve of Magnus's fingers around Alec's shoulder as he bent to kiss him. It was a kiss of desperation and clutching more than passion. Magnus held on tightly, enough for his fingers to bite into Alec's arms, but in the end he stepped away and turned toward his father.
All right, Magnus said,
and Clary could tell he was bracing himself, nerving himself up, as if he were about to throw his body onto a pyre.
All right, take me. I give you my life.
I am.
Simon. Simon, who had been silent till that moment. Simon, who Clary had almost forgotten was there, stepped forward.
I am willing.
Asmodeus' eyebrows shot up.
What was that?
Isabel seemed to catch on before anyone else. She paled and said,
No! Simon, no!
But Simon went on, his back straight, his chin lifted.
I also have an immortal life, he said. Magnus isn't the only one. Take mine. Take my immortality.
Ah, breathed Asmodeus, his eyes suddenly shining. Azazel told me of you. A vampire is not interesting, but a daylighter. You carry the power of the world's sun in your veins. Sunlight and eternal life. That is a power indeed.
Yes, Simon said. If you'll take my immortality instead of Magnus's, then I give it to you. I am...
Simon!
Clary said, but it was already too late.
I am willing, he finished, and with a glance around at the rest of the group, he set his jaw with a look that said, I've said it. It's done.
God, Simon, no, said Magnus in a voice of terrible sadness, and he closed his eyes.
I'm only 17, Simon said. If he takes my immortality, I'll live out my life. I won't die here. I never wanted immortality. I never wanted to be a vampire. I never wanted any of it.
You won't live out your life!
There were tears in Isabel's eyes.
If Asmodeus takes your immortality, then you'll be a corpse, Simon. You're undead!
Asmodeus made a rude noise.
You're a very stupid girl, he said. I am a prince of hell. I can break down the walls between worlds. I can build worlds and destroy them. You think I can't reverse the transformation that turns a human to a vampire? You think I can't make his heart beat again? Child's play.
But why would you do that? Clary said, bewildered. Why would you make it so he lived? You're a demon, you don't care.
I don't care, but I want, said Asmodeus. There is one more thing I want from you. One more item to sweeten the deal.
He grinned, and his teeth glimmered like sharp crystals.
What?
Magnus's voice shook.
What is it you want? His memories, said Asmodeus.
Azazel took a memory from each of us, as payment for a favor,
Alex said.
What is it with you demons and memories?
Human memories, freely given, are like food to us, said Asmodeus. Demons live on the cries and agony of the damned in torment. Imagine, then, how nice a change of pace a feast of happy memories is. Mixed together, they are delicious, the sour and the sweet.
He looked around, his cat's eyes glittering.
And I can already tell that there will be many happy memories to take, little vampire. For you are much loved, are you not?
Simon looked strained. He said, But if you take my memories, who will I be? I don't...
Well, said Asmodeus, I could take every memory you have and leave you a drooling idiot, I suppose. But really, who wants the memories of a baby? Dull, dull. The question is, what would be the most fun? Memories are delicious, but so is pain. What would cause the most pain to your friends here? What would remind them to fear the power and the wit of demons?
He clasped his hands behind his back. Each of the buttons of his white shirt was carved in the shape of a fly.
I promised my immortality, Simon said, not my memories. You said freely given.
God in hell, the banality, said Asmodeus.
And he moved, as swift as a lick of flame, to seize Simon by the forearm. Isabel darted forward, as if to catch hold of Simon, and then flinched back with a gasp. A red welt had appeared across her cheek. She put her hand to it, looking shocked.
Leave her alone, Simon snapped, and wrenched his arm out of the demon's grip.
Downworlder, the demon breathed,
and touched his long, spidery fingers to Simon's cheek.
You must have had a heart that beat so strong in you when it still beat.
Let him go, Jace said, drawing his sword.
He is ours, not yours. The Nephilim protect what belongs to us.
No, Simon said. He was shivering all over, but his back was straight.
Jace, don't. This is the only way.
Indeed it is, said Asmodeus. For none of you can fight a prince of hell in his place of power. Not even you, Jace Herondale, child of angels. Or you, Clarissa Fairchild, with your tricks and runes.
He moved his finger slightly. Jace's sword clattered to the ground, and Jace jerked his hand back, grimacing in pain as if he'd been burned. Asmodeus spared him only a glance before raising his hand again.
There is the gateway. Look.
He gestured toward the wall, which shimmered and came clear. Through it, Clary could see the hazy outlines of the Hall of Accords. There were the bodies of the Andarkin, lying on the ground in heaps of scarlet, and there were the Shadow Hunters, running, stumbling, hugging, embracing one another. Victory after the battle. And there were her mother and Luke, looking around in bewilderment. They were still in the same position they had been in on the dais, Luke standing, Jocelyn kneeling with her son's body in her arms. Other Shadow Hunters were just beginning to glance toward them, surprised, as if they had appeared out of nowhere, which they had.
There is everything you want, said Asmodeus, as the gateway flickered and went dark. And in return, I shall take the Daylighter's immortality, and along with it, his memories of the Shadow World. All his memories of all of you, of all he has learned, of all he has been. That is my desire.
Simon's eyes widened. Clary felt her heart give a terrible lurch. Magnus looked as if someone had stabbed him.
There it is, he whispered. The trick at the heart of the game. There always is one with demons.
Isabel looked incredulous.
Are you saying you want him to forget us?
Everything about you, and that he ever knew you, said Asmodeus. I offer you this in exchange. He will live. He will have the life of an ordinary mundane. He will have his family back, his mother, his sister. Friends, school, all the trappings of a normal human life.
Clary looked at Simon desperately. He was shaking. Clenching and unclenching his hands, he said nothing.
Absolutely not, said Jace. Fine. Then you'll all die here. You really don't have much leverage, little Shadow Hunter. What are memories when weighed against such a great cost of life?
You're talking about who Simon is, said Clary. You're talking about taking him away from us forever.
Yes. Isn't it delightful? Asmodeus smiled.
This is ridiculous, said Isabel. Say you do take his memories. What's to stop us from tracking him down and telling him about the Shadow World? Introducing him to magic. We did it before, we can do it again.
Before he knew you. Knew and trusted Clary, said Asmodeus. Now he will know none of you. You will all be strangers to him. And why should he listen to mad strangers? Besides, you know Covenant law as well as I do. You will be breaking it, telling him about the Shadow World for no reason at all, endangering his life. There were special circumstances before. Now there will not be. The Clave will strip all your runes if you try it.
Speaking of the Clave, said Jace, they're not going to be too pleased if you toss a mundane back out into a life where everyone he knows thinks he's a vampire. All Simon's friends know. His family knows. His sister, his mother. They'll tell him, even if we don't.
I see. Asmodeus looked displeased. That does complicate things. Perhaps I should take Magnus's immortality after all.
No, Simon said. He looked shocked, sick on his feet, but his voice was determined. Asmodeus looked at him with covetous eyes.
Simon, shut up, Magnus said desperately. Take me instead, Father. I want the Daylighter, said Asmodeus. Magnus. You've never quite understood what it is to be a demon, have you? To feed on pain. But what is pain? Physical torment. That's so dull. Any garden variety demon can do that. to be an artist of pain.